Welcome today. It is going to be a special day for us and for Calvin and his family, because as you read somewhere, we're going to have an ordination service here shortly. The screen will keep you up to date on that. We have talked about this for a while, and we gave you several months to give us feedback on this. Calvin and Essie have been members here for many, many years, decades actually. And they came here through, if I remember right, L.C. Lewis, Barbara's husband. L.C. Lewis, one of the most spiritual men I ever met, a great soldier of the Lord, and a man who won a lot of people to Jesus. And I believe he brought Calvin and Essie into this church. And I guess you would say he mentored Calvin a lot. L.C. was a man of the book, wasn't he? He told me one time his love was to go, when he get home, go sit out under a tree and read his Bible. And he did a lot of that. Because you'd be teaching a class and refer to something, and he would bring up something else that I knew he had read that. He hadn't just heard me say it, he had read that. So Calvin and Essie came to us, I believe, through L.C.'s ministry. And Calvin, it's a great couple. We appreciate their quiet spirits. They're solid, stable. They're here every time the doors are open. Calvin has served as a deacon for a good long while. And people say, what's the difference in a deacon and an elder? Well, there's a good bit of difference. Deacons are servants, and they serve in a specific area. But elders are called to oversee. They see the big picture. They see the flock, not just my little job I do, but the flock. And it's a different role. It's a different role. We believe Calvin is ready for that. We're going to say some things about that. But before we get into that, I need Calvin and Essie to come up here and stand next to me. Nobody up here is going to have to make a speech, so don't worry about that. Come on up, Calvin and Essie. And then I need the deacons. I need the deacons up here, and JL, if he'll come too. I warned the deacons to come up here and stand with us. A couple of them are out today. Toby's out with a bad knee. I think hurt his knee at work this week. And JL's our other elder. That JL and I are elders now, and Calvin will be soon. And so Toby's not here, and Raymond's been sick. He's not here either. But these are our two of the four deacons that we have. And they're just up here to show their solidarity. I thought it would be a good idea. JL and I talked about it. Good idea if the deacons were up here too, because they have a lot. They have a lot of things they're supposed to do. I've got some scriptures here that I'm going to read, and I'm going to, I guess you'd say, have a little ceremony of Calvin. This is what he's promising. This is what he's promising. I said you may have to say I do, and you probably said that before, you know, like. Maybe something similar. But there are some amazing scriptures in the Word of God about elders and about what they do. Paul writing in, I'll do this slowly if you want to write these down, Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 is a big chapter about the eldership, because Acts 20, Paul is headed back to Jerusalem. And as he's headed to Jerusalem, he stops off in Ephesus and meets with the elders of that congregation. And he says to them, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit tells me there will be problems and persecutions when I get there. But he stopped off with them, and they had prayer together. And as they prayed together, he talked to them about their role as elders. And he said things like this: keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Did you catch that? Keep watch over yourselves first, elders. And over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has called you into this. Well, how do you know the Holy Spirit calls somebody? Well, you look at how they've lived and what they've done, and you see the evidence of the Spirit. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood, or the blood of his own Son. Be shepherds. We know what shepherds are, don't we? I mean, they have a flock. And there is, Peter wrote one time, there is the chief shepherd Who's the chief shepherd? Lord himself. And we only serve as under shepherds. We take our orders from the chief shepherd. He said, same chapter 20, verse 29 and 30, Acts chapter 20, 29 and 30. I know that after I leave, Paul said, savage wolves will come in among you and not spare the flock. Remember about, King David, as a shepherd, King David had killed a bear and he killed a lion. What was he doing? Watching out for the flock. And Paul uses that analogy. He says, after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. He's not talking about physical violence. He's talking about misleading people, like Satan misled Adam and Eve right out of the promise, right out of the Garden of Eden. So you might be misled. They'll be trying to mislead. He goes on to say, even from your own number, your own congregation, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw disciples away after them. They're getting their little group going. What are elders supposed to do? Watch out for that. Watch for yourselves and watch for the flock. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint with them oil. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Another function of elders. They come in, they pray, they anoint you with oil when you're sick. Peter wrote this. Did you know Peter and John were both apostles? And Peter and John were both elders. Elders in the church in Jerusalem. Be shepherds, this is what Peter wrote. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain or money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Leading by example. At some point it dawns on you that I cannot make another person do what I want them to do. You can threaten to kill them, you can throw them in jail, but they don't have to do it. So especially with churches, everybody's a volunteer. And elders that become little dictators don't get very far. What is an elder supposed to be? You should be you should be out front. Paul wrote one time to one of the churches, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. In other words, if I'm not following Christ, forget me and go to somebody else that's following Christ. So it's about influence by example. Paul wrote this to a young missionary named Titus. Since an overseer, which is another word for bishop or elder, since an overseer manages God's household, he must be blameless. He describes what blameless, you don't have to be perfect, but here's what blameless is. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain, money again. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message that has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. What in the world does that mean? Another job of elders, overseers, is to watch the teaching as looking at the whole flock. Are we getting fed what we need to be fed? Are we getting the teaching that we need to grow? That's a big one. That's a really big one. In fact, later we'll talk about Acts 15, if we have time. But in Acts 15, the very function of elders and apostles was to examine a new teaching that had come about and decide, is that what we're going to allow to be taught or not? So it's a big job. Obviously, it's a big job. Obviously, we need to pray for Calvin and Essie. You need to pray for your elders now and your deacons, because if the leadership fails, I heard it even when I was a student in preaching school, no church can rise above its leadership. That is a true statement, isn't it? As the leaders go, so goes the congregation. So will you be praying for Calvin? Do you agree to do that? And pray for Essie and the other elders too. So Calvin, I want to ask you some questions. This says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Are you willing to do that? Okay. Are you willing to pray? This says, let them call for the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Are you willing to do that when people call? Be shepherds of God's flock that's under your care, watching over them, not because you have to, but because you're willing, like God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples. You're willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay. Since an overseer must be blameless, and he gives that list, but he also must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. He must hold firmly to the message, the gospel, that has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay. With God's help and God's grace, you're willing to do these things. Okay, you pledge in front of the group, and the group has pledged to pray for you and lead you in the best way we can. So there's one passage I did not read yet, but in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, stir up the gift that was given you by the laying on of the elders' hands. So we're going to lay hands on Calvin and Essie right now. If JL will join me over here, we'll do that. We will lay hands and pray over you. And as we do that, you will pray with us. And the laying on of hands symbolizes transference of what God has given us to them, that they will be a great team. I'm sure you know that elder and wife, that's a team, right? They have to work together. So be praying for them. Father, we lay our hands on Calvin and on Essie. We're praying, Father, that their lives will be spent in useful service to you, that as you guide them and lead them, Father, we confer your blessing on them. We ask that your Spirit continues to fill them, that as he fills them, he leads and guides. We want to be a Spirit-led church, and we want them to be Spirit-led leaders in this congregation. Without you, we can do nothing. Our Lord said that, Father. We know he said of himself, apart from God, I can do nothing. And so we know we can do nothing. So we're asking for the power. We're asking for the ability. We're asking for guidance, good health, spiritual growth for Calvin and Essie, that they grow into this new role they now have as being overseers of your congregation. I know, Father, that we love them and they love this church. We here love our church family, and we ask you that this year, 2024, will be even greater, that we will grow in the Spirit, we'll grow in spiritual things, that as we grow, Father, we will do the things you guide us to do. We want to be Spirit-led. We want to be a congregation that easily listens to you, easily changes when we need to change, easily stands our ground when we need to stand our ground. Thank you, Father, by your power. None of us can do what we ought to do without your power. Thank you for your power that's conferred on them now. And we ask you, Father, to bless them and strengthen them in Christ's name. Amen. I got one more thing I want to read quickly, and we'll let you go. There's one passage here I did not read, but I had it down here for it's suitable to end this. Now I to Calvin and Essie. Now I commit you to God, to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Acts 20, verse 32. We commit you to God. All right, you can be seated. You guys can be seated. We are grateful for our leaders, aren't we? One thing you'll see on the screen next is, which one did you start with there? Back up to number one. Is it the one I think it's the one I had here. Let's look at some scriptures for a minute. I won't take too long because we are scheduled to have lunch here shortly, but Acts chapter 20. If you have your Bible handy, look at Acts chapter 20. To get the feel of what elders do and the responsibility they have. Acts chapter 20. As I said earlier, Paul the Apostle is headed to Jerusalem. And he says, I don't know what's ahead. I do know that hardships and persecution await me. So he stopped off to talk to these elders. And he says in Acts 20, verse 22, "And now compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem." Compelled by the Spirit. Is that the sign of a godly man? Compelled by the Holy Spirit. What's he going to do? "I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." I think we owe these people that were written about and wrote these things 2,000 years ago, we owe them a debt of gratitude. Once Paul became a Christian, he wrote about it. He said, "I don't have a life." Most people will not give up their lives for the cause, but he did. He said, "I don't have a life. I've been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I that live. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And Paul told these elders, he said, some versions actually have him saying, I think it's slightly different translation, but some versions actually have him saying, "None of these things move me. I'm not moved off my goal. I'm not cutting back. I'm not stopping because there's opposition." Leaders have to have some courage, don't we? And followers have to have some courage. So he told these elders, he said, "I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me I'm going to have hardships." Verse 25, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again." Oh, they all started crying then. They were on a beach around the town of Ephesus. And they met with him. He didn't want to go to meet with the church because he was in a hurry, trying to get back to Jerusalem before the feast days. And it says, Acts 20, verse 23, "I know you're not going to see me anymore. I know you're not going to see me anymore." Verse 26, "Therefore I declare to you today that I'm innocent of the blood of all men." And it goes on to verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." The Holy Spirit picks people. Well, how does the Holy Spirit pick people? You see the gifting on them. The gifting on them. That they just have the ability. They have the personality. They have the temperament. They have the eager desire to serve. They have the eager desire to know the Word of God. They have the eager desire to get close to God and then lead other people. Help other people find God. And you see it. So the Holy Spirit had led these men to be overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Shepherds. I put the title up here. I don't know if you noticed it, but shepherds are spiritual bodyguards. The famous people have bodyguards a lot. Yeah, they don't move around without bodyguards. I heard one famous person on the news said he pays $2 million a year for security, because he has some very strong opinions on that he spouts to the whole world, and somebody's going to hurt him if they can. Do we need spiritual bodyguards for the church? Elders are not dictators. Leaders are not dictators. But sometimes they have to tell you some things you don't like and don't want to hear because they're concerned about you. And they say, well, you're getting a little into dangerous territory here. When President Reagan was shot many, many years ago, he at his limousine, you know, the presidential limousine has these big armored doors and they kind of hide behind the doors. The gunfire started, and I remember him telling about it. He said, that Secret Service agent shoved me as hard as he could into the back of that limousine. I landed on the hump there and hurt my chest. You know, of course, he was shot. They had to get him out of there. Did the agent mean any harm? No. He just knew, I got to get him out of this gunfire, they're going to kill him. So sometimes leaders have to say, I'm taking watch over myself, but I'm also taking watch over you, that I see some things that bring danger. And so let's talk about it. Some people don't like that. Some people don't like being told they need to correct things. I don't like it. I've had people talk to me before, and it's... But I do remember a couple of times here when elders of this congregation, long before I was an elder, said some things to me, and it helped me. They really helped me. There was a time, one time, when I was... Some of the people, I was a brand new preacher and I was young and I didn't know what I was doing. I still don't, but I was young then. I had dark hair then, you know. And somebody got upset about something. And so the elders called me into that prayer room back there. And they went over it. And I was a little upset. So I started defending myself. If you want to know, I'll tell you later who it was. But one of the elders, I'm not going to do it on recording, but... But I was defending myself. And very quietly in a very gentle voice, he said, "Do you always have to defend yourself?" And it stopped me. It was, he did it with such love. He wasn't yelling at me. He wasn't criticized. He was just saying, "Is this the way you always handle these things? Are you going to continue to handle? Do you always have to defend yourself?" And I thought, no, I really don't. If God defends you, you don't have to worry about defending yourself, do you? So, that's what Paul's talking about, be shepherds of the flock. Then he goes on to talk about how there are evil people out there that try to come into to a situation and lead people astray. Teach them something that the Word does not say. The next slide is part of Acts 20, right? 28. We're kind of informal today because we're talking just informally about leadership. This one is 1 Peter chapter 5. And it goes for about three panels. So you start with the first panel and it says this, "To the elders among you," this is Peter. I said that a while ago. Peter was an elder. He says, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of," this is Peter now, it's not Paul again. Paul already said this, and Peter's saying it too, right? "Be shepherds of the flock." Be shepherds of the flock. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 5. He goes on to say, "Be shepherds of the flock that is under your care." The next slide says, "Watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." This is 1 Peter chapter 5, first four verses. "Being examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears." And that will be something when Jesus comes and he appears. And the leaders are thinking, I bet, I'll be thinking, I hope I did a good job. Here comes the boss. I hope I did right. We're held accountable. Leaders are held accountable. And he goes on to say, "You will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Everybody gets a crown, but leaders, I think, get a little something extra in the sense of saying, "You followed what I told you to do." See, if you're destined to be a leader in the church, God will let you know that, and you'll start growing in that direction. So Peter said, "Chief Shepherd, you're going to check in with him one day when he appears, and I'm assuming he's going to give you this crown because you did a good job." Wow. You get to that point, whether you're a leader or not, you get to that point and you look back and think, "I'm sure glad I paid attention. I'm sure glad... Whew, I'm sure glad I did what God wanted me to do. This life is so short. We're not going to be here much longer. This room will be different 30 years from now, won't it? If this building is still here, how many of us are going to be here 30 years from now? Not very many. And if we are, if some of you younger ones will be here, but you may not be in very good shape like some of us. I mean, it's short. It's your heartbeats are, you know, limited, and it's short. And one of these days we check in, especially with leaders. Especially with leaders, we check in and we get the reward we're going to get, a crown, he said. You're going to be honored. All of you will if you stay faithful and if you do what Christ called you to do. You don't have much time. Did you ever think, folks of my age and roughly the same, did you ever think you'd see the year 2024? When you were 18 years old, did you think you would see, you couldn't even think that far ahead. And here we are. And guess what? 2025 is lurking in the wings. And it will be here soon. Right? And I'll be standing here, God willing, we'll all be here. We'll be talking about how fast 24 went. He said, when the chief shepherd appears. So remember that. He tells shepherds to remember. The reason I'm telling you this, you're not all going to be elders, but you have a part to play in this. Because you get the churches get the leadership they deserve. Churches get the leadership they deserve. What does that mean? That means if you don't pay attention and you're not praying for us and you're not studying your Bible and being a part of this thing, it's a group effort, it's a team, then leaders will fail. Leaders will fail. I know you're going to be praying for us. I know you're going to be helping us. I know you're going to be, it's beautiful to say. I was at a church one time, West Monroe. One of the young men, we were having men's meetings. The Pentecostals of the Twin Cities used to have meetings, men's lunch, Christian men's lunch. I used to go to those. People would speak. And there was a young man on staff over there, a young guy on the church staff over there. And every time I went, hi, Pastor, how are you, Pastor? What do you need me to do today? What do you need me to do today? Anything I can help you with? See, that attitude, it energizes leaders. I'm not saying everybody has to run around asking me that. I'm just saying if there's an attitude of we're in this together and I'm going to help you, energizes all of us, not just leaders, energizes all of us. The reason I'm going into this, we've never really talked much around here on the elders. You knew who they were, and we never said a whole lot about it. But it's time to talk about it, isn't it? So that's what he said, Acts 15, verse 28, next slide. An amazing passage. Acts 15, I told you the story earlier that in Acts chapter 15, the church is new and the church is growing and the church in Jerusalem grew, started with 3,000 people baptized into Christ the first day, and it grew and it grew and it grew. And as it merged and grew, it got out of the little area around Jerusalem, Judea, and it started merging on up into the Gentile areas. And people that were not Jews started getting saved. And some of the Pharisees that were Christians, believe it or not, got worried about that. But wait a minute. This is our thing. This is Judaism. This is our Messiah. Why are these Gentiles coming into this thing? And they had to have this big meeting. They had a big meeting in Jerusalem. Guess what? Apostles and elders. And it said, I believe it says four times in that reading, apostles and elders. The apostles didn't cut the elders out. They said, no, you need to be a part of this. We need to make a decision. What's the decision? Are we going to require these new converts, these people who have found Christ and want to be a part of this thing called the church, are we supposed to tell them they've got to keep the law of Moses? And some of the Pharisees who are now Christians said, yes, they've got to keep the law of Moses. They've got to keep the feast days. Their men have to be circumcised. They have to have the law of Moses. So if they're going to be Christians, they have to be good Jews. But the apostles and the elders met in Jerusalem. And they discussed it. And it got kicked back and forth a little bit. And finally, Peter, who had been the one to, remember Cornelius? Peter was the one that baptized the first Gentile into the kingdom. Peter said, you know how this went? I was picked by God to go win the first Gentile man into the kingdom of God. I'm saying we don't need to put on them a yoke that our forefathers, the Jews, were never able to bear. So Peter said, leave it alone. They don't need to have the law of Moses. They have Christ. Then James stood up and said, there's a prophecy in the Old Testament. Read Acts chapter 15 when you get home. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament, James said, that foreshadows that Gentiles would come in. And then Paul and Barnabas had somewhere in there had stood, they stood up and the whole crowd got quiet when Paul and Barnabas said, we just made a long preaching trip up through the Gentile areas, and miracles and wonders and all the miracles, and people got very quiet. You mean God has given the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles? You mean God worked miracles? And they told about it. Oh, that's a good ceremony when somebody stands up and tells you their testimony. But when somebody stands up and tells you that they saw 15 miracles in their ministry in the last 6 months, I mean, all of that coming together. And when James stood up and said, this is predicted that it would happen. The apostles and who? Elders made a decision. Well, how'd they make a decision? They must have prayed about it. I know if you read their lives, you know they were men of prayer, and they prayed about it, and they made a decision. What was the decision? Well, part of it, they sent a letter. They wrote a letter to all the new Gentile converts. And this is part of it, Acts 15. It seemed good to us, to the Holy Spirit, rather. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden these people anymore beyond the following requirements. Basically, all they said was, you're now saved, you're in Christ, stay away from the paganism, get away from eating meat that had been strangled, don't drink blood, you know, don't have sexual immorality. That was all a pagan thing at the pagan temples. Stay away from that. No, you don't have to keep the law of Moses, but stay away from that. And be in your new group, the church. Be in the kingdom of God. Now notice that phrase. The apostles and elders said, how'd they make the decision? Well, they thought about it and they prayed about it evidently, and they came to this conclusion. They said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Well, how do they know what the Holy Spirit thought? They must have asked. Somehow, they heard from the Holy Spirit. So they made a decision, or they were in the process of making a decision, and evidently they had prayed, and then it just kind of came on all of them that he's okay with this. This is good. You ever have those impressions? God doesn't speak in audible voices. He speaks in your heart. And sometimes you just know something's right, don't you? Or you know it's wrong. Or you have... Are you are led in a certain way. We are supposed to be led by the Spirit, so they were led by the Spirit. And it seemed good, they said. It seemed good. We talked about it, prayed about it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us that they don't have to keep the law of Moses. What a massive change. This was the first gigantic decision the church had to make. And when it came to that, God included the apostles and the elders. So elders are shepherds. They shepherd the flock. They have the calling to look at the overall picture. Overall picture. And to say, are we heading in the right direction? Are we getting the right teaching? Are we growing spiritually? Spiritually growing as a people. What a benefit to be in a church. I hope even our guests are in churches like that, but isn't it a great benefit to be in a church where elders are watching out for your spiritual life? Spiritual life. They want you to be strong in the Spirit, and they want you to be productive Christians, and they want you to grow, and they want you to find your ministry and get out there and do it. That's great. We can't do it for you. I think of a football team. Most of you know a little bit about football, but You see the coaches on the sidelines pacing up and down, chewing a lot of gum, you know. What's their job? Why are they always on a headphone? What's their job? The big picture. But one guy runs out there to kick a field goal. What's his job? Kick the ball. Kick the ball. Make it go through that upright, and you get some points. They said they hired one NFL team hired a guy that didn't even speak English. He came from a country where soccer was big. He could kick the ball, would play soccer all his life. Said he didn't know much English. All he knew was kick ball, get check. Kick ball, get check. That's all he knew. What'd the coach know? Oh, he knew a lot more than that. The coach had the whole thing. He had to have the whole thing in mind. What about this? And what about this guy? What about that one? How did that play work? Whoever got another play, it would be better than that one. And, you know, where's our team headed? Are we going to make the playoffs? And the big picture, right? Hey, we're all in this together, aren't we? We're all in this together. I wonder what the Lord thinks when he looks down on this assembly today. What's he thinking about? What's the Holy Spirit thinking about? I don't know. Maybe you should ask him. What do you think, Lord? Are we getting it right? Are we being what we're supposed to be? I know you'll help us. If you have trust in God, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. That's in Proverbs, isn't it? If you don't get it right, He'll fix it. He'll help you. We don't need to be timid about things and be wise, but He'll help you, won't He? There's one more. Is there another one? I think there's one more. We've got one more here. Yeah, the first part of that is in Hebrews 13. So here's advice to those who want to follow. You see, if you're not willing to follow, you'll never be a leader. You got to start as a follower. Everybody has to start there, right? Paul started there. Peter started there. Everybody has to start there as a follower. If you follow well, then God will say, I'm going to bump you up. Didn't Jesus say that? If a person's faithful in little, I'll give them much. And some people faithful, they're not faithful even in the little things. Respect your leaders. There's one version that says, trust your leaders. Most versions say obey, but people don't like that word, do they? But the Greek word is more like respect. Help them, show them that you care. Respect your leaders and obey them. They watch over your lives or your souls in God's behalf, on God's behalf. God will check to see if they have done their work well. Chief shepherd again, right? So respect them, and then they will be happy as they serve. Next slide has the ending of that one. Happy as they serve God. Do not say bad things against them, because that will never help you. Now, that's in a version called EASY, E-A-S-Y, similar to the easy-to-read version, but I like that because it gives you a little more direction on what that verse is about. Are we willing to be God's people in a world that doesn't care? Are we willing to be God's people in a world that doesn't understand any of this? Carnally minded, worldly minded. Are we willing to be God's people and support God's leaders, and God's leaders not be overbearing, but be examples? Pray for us to be the examples that we're supposed to be. I'm excited about this church and about 2024. Because we're headed somewhere. We're headed into the heart of God. We're headed into the heart of God. We're headed into territory where you're going to be blessed more than you realize. Because I just pray, and I know God's got great things for us. It doesn't mean there won't be trials. Remember in 2020, preachers were preaching 2020 vision in 2020. Well, that fell apart with COVID, didn't it? A lot of big vision died in COVID. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but I'm saying we're headed somewhere. Oh, we're headed somewhere, and the devil can't stop us. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. desire, does this old world need? Does this old world need us? Does this old world need the gospel? Does this old world need prayer? Does this old world need somebody? Somebody needs to live for God. Amen to that? Can you say amen? Somebody needs to be living for God, and I think it ought to be us. And we're headed there, aren't we? We're headed there. One more thing, we have a notebook up here for the guests. By the way, thanks for our guests that are here today. This notebook has names in it. Pages, 30-some-odd pages of names of people who do not know the Lord. Our members turn these names in. Or people that have known and fell away. And we pray over this notebook. Hold it up before God every time we meet. So we're going to do that now. Father, we are grateful for what you've led us through today, and we pray, grateful for Calvin and Essie willing to step up and be leaders. We thank you and bless their lives, we pray. We ask you, all these names in this notebook, so many of them, we don't even have time to read them all at one time. But you know these names, and you know their heart, and you know their situation, and we ask you that light would come and would dawn on them. The glory of the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ would dawn on them. Your word says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. These folks need to be there where they know and believe, and they overcome the world. We're grateful to you, Father, today. Thank you for this time that we've had together and for the blessing just being together in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to sing a song together. Take a songbook there. You should find one kind of handy there. And